Let's pray through the Holy Spirit that the Lord will use us as we are instruments of his grace and mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, you have called us to this great mystery of this retreat. Bless us and fill us with hope. Settle our minds and our hearts that we can encounter this love of the cross. Bless these women. Remove fears, obstacles, and tiredness. Help them to be fully present to the mystery of your love. And help us, O Lord, to trust that wherever we may be in our lives, you are guiding us. Blessed Mother, intercede for us as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe and Saint Joseph, pray for us. Well, welcome. You have your schedule and you got your fancy name tags on, okay? Don't leave with those. We know who you are. So we keep using them. So if we don't see your name tag, we'll track you down. Okay? How many of you is this first time here at Loyola? Any newbies? Oh, great. And first time on a retreat with Anima Christi? Can you show hands? Good. Well, welcome. Good. So here's the background. 30 seconds. 20 years ago, I started giving some retreats, and we started going to Our Lady of Mattapanai. Started with one women's retreat of 20. And it seemed to be grace-filled. And then next Lent, I did two. And the next Lent, I did three. And next thing you know, we were just taking off. So that's the truth. So we're actually in our 20th year of giving retreats. And we've had tremendous response and tremendous grace, splintering off into all the retreats we can, men's retreats, women's retreats, and couples retreats. Okay, so that's kind of where we find ourselves with these retreats. And the music group has been with us for many years, I think about 14. Okay, about eight. Jen's pregnant, so she doesn't remember all the experience. Okay, she's got pregnancy mind. I mean, that's what I'm told, Jen. All right, I'm just telling you. We're working together in this, okay? I want to start the Lenten retreat, so it's virtually impossible to settle you on the retreat unless you want to be settled, okay? Because it's way too many people, women, in way too cramped a place, and we took 90. God is good. We sold out the retreat in 4 days, and it just answers the question that there's a great need in the culture. Women, men are looking for retreats. Why? Because the culture is speaking to it. And that's a tremendous answer to what the pain of so many people in their hearts, okay? So when we gather on a retreat, when you want to kind of hear what the Lord is saying to you, it may be through the priest who's speaking, it may be through the music, but it will probably be through your willingness to confront something in your heart, to confront some struggle, some fear, that really emanates from a place of some experience in your life. Okay, so from a place in your life, there can grow a cross. Okay, so I was abused, let's say, and there's a cross there that comes from that. Or I had a difficult childhood, or I had this kind of experience, or I was treated like this in high school. There's gonna be a cross. So one of the first points I wanna kind of put in your heart is, not all crosses are sort of like imposed. Like, here's your cross, pal. Some of these, I'm going to call them homegrown crosses. Okay? The homegrown cross is the cross that comes from your experiences. Okay? And you can do homegrown, like, you can take that adjective and apply it to a lot of homegrown pasta sauce. It's like, it's just particular. Mom makes her own homegrown pasta. It's just unique to mom. No matter how many times you try to do it, you just can't get mom's pasta sauce. My point is, one of the first things I want you to recognize is this concept of the homegrown cross is an important understanding to your encounter with the cross that Jesus hangs on behind me. I'm even going to go a little further and say, you're going to encounter Christ through your homegrown cross. All right. Ladies, it's very, very important that you know those homegrown crosses, because that may be the very place that you're not addressing. Okay? And you can go over the big ones, like it's death, it's sickness, it's abuse, it's just dysfunction or brokenness or self-loathing. There's a million homegrowners, but the reason why I wanted to call it a homegrown cross is because you get the freedom to call it what it is. Okay? So let's say my dad died when I was a little kid. Okay, that's gonna have a cross to it. Now, right then, if you guys can understand that, then you're gonna begin to understand that the cross is not just something like sort of imposed on by God, but it's actually through the experiences of my life that ultimately what the Lord is allowing is my opportunity to encounter Him. Remember, through the cross, we can encounter the Lord. The cross is by no means an impediment. The cross is by no means an impediment to Christ. And once each of you begins to sort of encounter, again, this homegrown cross, something changes in how you approach Christ. Because the second point of that corollary of that homegrown cross is Christ is where every cross is, right? Christ is where every cross is. So it's important that you recognize that therein lies something of the movement of God. Christ does not avoid the cross. He goes to the cross. So begin to sort of look in your life, where are those places that this homegrown cross grew up, sprang from, whatever your terminology is. But I bet if you go to that place, if you've not gone there, and again, we're just kind of holding on to that concept of the cross, you will understand something more about Christ in your life. So Christ allows that cross, it's through experiences, through struggles, that the cross grows, and Christ is drawn to that cross. He will always be drawn to that. Now, the problem is when we don't begin to look at these experiences, these homegrown crosses, as I call them, then what happens is they can manifest and they can become places of fear, right? Like, it was the alcoholic home, and I never really addressed it, but God the Father was still loving me in that alcoholic home or that abuse or that pain. And what begins to happen is I begin to isolate from that, either that experience or from relationships similar to that, or a lot of ways. And ultimately, what I see in my ministry is just a lot of avoidance of that place. I just have to avoid it because I don't like it. You know, some of you guys are smart enough to pretend like it doesn't exist, but it exists. It's like the third floor, the attic. It doesn't exist. Okay, it doesn't exist. But why are you afraid every time the ceiling creaks? Because it exists. So Christ is always going to be drawn to the mystery of that cross. But always at the foot of the cross, there's always going to be these mysterious players that are there. Okay? I'm going to go with it from a little bit of scripture, but like I want you to recognize that the Passion has some key components. It's got a couple of pieces of wood called the cross. It's got a man on the cross, and it's got a couple of people underneath it. It's got a Mary Magdalene. It's got a Blessed Mother, and it's got a John. That's kind of the, those are the key players. Peter's somewhere. I don't know where he went. Judas, who knows? But ultimately, like, if you can just keep progressing with me in this retreat, what you're going to realize is that Christ is in that place. Walls can go up if I don't address those places. Unforgiveness can remain in my heart. A lot of times, folks, when we try to help people heal, if they have not expressed forgiveness to certain aspects in their life, like they say, well, you know, my kid did this to me or my spouse did it to me, that's in now time. If they're not getting to that place of forgiveness, I bet you if they have the courage and they navigate their way back to the homegrown crosses, they will see that it has a root in that place. Is everybody with me? So my dad was an alcoholic, right? If I hadn't gone to that place of forgiveness as a little boy and I had to forgive, you know, I'm not going to be the priest that says, yeah, let's work. I'm happy to work through forgiveness because, well, I worked through that. And it's so easy that, you know, we have this syndrome called ACOA, Adult Children of Alcoholic. It's because we've not addressed the issue. And so what I'm proposing to you is that homegrown cross, which is where Christ is, they're going to be modern situations, current situations in your life that really the Lord is trying to work through to get you not only to address it in now time, but also to draw you back into the place where those little struggles, those pains originated from. That is always the mystery of the cross. The cross is not just a moment in time. The cross is the mystery of the act of redemption from the beginning of time to the end of time. Okay? So if I go out and sin right now, that sin is on the cross already, even though Christ is not in Jerusalem at this moment. So let's be honest. The cross is an act of redemption from the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning to the end, from the kickoff to the final whistle. It will always be that the cross is not just that moment. It is that eternal encounter with God. So therefore, I sort of feel in my heart, I have the liberty to say that those experiences in my heart that have not healed, that now manifest themselves through something totally unrelated. It could be unforgiveness from my dad, and then all of a sudden I got an issue with the bishop. Well, that has really nothing to do. They don't look like each other. And they don't wear the same clothes. And my dad had 6 kids. What do they have in common? Survey says 0. But it's the same encounter with anger at my dad when it's anger at the bishop. And what I find with working with people is like, is it really the bishop? Not the bishop. It's the wound that goes deeper. There is your healing. If you can go there this week, day, then you will understand something about the mystery of the cross. The cross will not be just a Lenten encounter. Oh, pick up your cross and carry it. Oh, great. Now I'm tired. Right? I mean, just think of all the words we use. They totally are backfiring. Pick up your cross and carry it. Why? Hurts my shoulder. Now I'm tired. Okay? No, the cross is actually the place where we encounter the truest love of God. It will always be the truest love of God. Because I can suffer without love, but I cannot love without suffering. You can punch me in the face and I can suffer and not love you. But if I love you, I actually, inherent in that love is suffering. Because we're relational. So I got to forgive you and I got to accept you and I got to put up with you. I mean, all that stuff you already know. And so God, in the mystery of the cross, unites the two most common experiences of the human heart. What are they? Love and suffering. The cross is very familiar to every single person because they got planted a long, long time ago in your experiences. But you maybe never looked at them as that. And then you said, well, I'm going to avoid that because, well, that's just something, I'm not going to deal with it. But that's exactly the place where Christ is born. And the modern day struggle that you may be facing, the current real time pain, I bet if you are courageous and open and quiet with the Holy Spirit, he will say, come on, honey, let's really talk about that pain. I don't mean it necessarily happened in second grade. I don't know when it happened. That's where the Lord loves you, and he's going to draw you back. But remember, he's trying to bring you into that place where the cross will liberate you and give you strength. Now, that perspective will give you clarity on how you can go through life. Because we approach Lent as just like, oh, what are you giving up? Like, what have you done? Like, you're some hero. It's really, Lent is supposed to draw me into love. Like, if you have a really old crucifix, you know, like one of the metal ones, and it's like Christ is already there, and if you've rubbed it a lot, it's just sort of like Christ molds into the cross. Like, it looks like a mound after a while on the cross. Well, in the same way, I mean, Christ and the cross are so in deep communion, which is love and suffering, suffering and love, that it becomes one. That communion of the mystery of the cross and love is really Lent. Lent is not about chocolate and giving up all those other things. I mean, that's all fine. I mean, that can be totally selfish and self-motivated. And again, you know, the idea is, look at what I've done during Lent. I'm pretty heroic. Well, the idea is not to come away from Lent like, ta-da, look at me. Let me put it on Facebook, right? I haven't eaten in, you know, 40 days. Look at me. I haven't showered in 40 days, right? I haven't touched anybody in 40 days. I haven't even hugged my kids in 40 days. I'm heroic, right? But if we get that place of, like, the pride that builds up in us, okay, then it will be backfiring in the mystery of suffering and love. So I need you to understand this, because what the Lord can do is he can support each of you to really understand what his plan is for you. So secondly, what do we find by the cross? Well, we find the three players. We find a Mary, a John, and a Mary Magdalene. First of all, you will always have the one who loves the most, this Mary at the foot of the cross. Our Lady is loving you in the mystery of that homegrown cross. She is loving you beautifully and powerfully and mysteriously in that place. So let her love you in that place. You actually have to let her into the place. You might have to have that frustrating conversation. How, why, when? But you really have to go, Mary, show me that you are there. When you go there, ladies, I need you to hear what the Lord says. This is my son. Behold thy mother, behold thy son. I actually need you to understand that our Lord, because he's there in that place, is saying, this is my wound. And give it to Mary. And that Mary, come to that wound. Behold thy wounded one. Behold thy wounded daughter. Christ is directing the movement in that place. So he wants to orchestrate that this Mary in love comes to that place. Mary's love is not just like an effeminate encounter. It's a deep, authentic presence in pain. Look at who's at the foot. Mary. It is not just simply this, oh, thanks for being there, Mom. It's an authentic strengthening moment for Christ. It was so strengthening for him that he has the strength to look at her and her look back. But then it's this consummatum est. Like, it is finished, but this woman, what do I do with her? This is my beloved gift. I don't know what to do with her, but she's my mother, and I offer her to the world. So at the foot of the cross, Mary is given to every single one of us. Behold thy son, behold thy mother, and all of that mystery. But imagine what the wound looks like wherever you go, that therein lies the cross, Christ, and Mary. Moms, on a natural level, miss stuff all the time, right? Kids get in a fight, you're not sure who bopped each other first. He did it, she did it, he did it, right? So mom misses stuff, but Our Lady never misses what the pain, the experience that you go through. The effect of this is something quite profound, because when Mary goes to that place, she always brings this virgin love, this like strong presence, and it's not a weakness. It's not a love that's self-motivated. That virgin love is other-centered. It's always seeking. It's a purity and a love that is profound. It's a love that will always help people. The Marian love will always, always come to bring grace and strength. Why is it important to have her there? Because of your, first of all, your feminine quality, but also because it's important to realize that she can also help in the healing process. She will help take down the sun in the 14th station and cleanse him and embrace him and then put him in the sepulcher. She's there in that mystery, folks. Our Lady will also inspire you to understand what is moving within your heart in that place. She wants to bring total healing, so that the conversion that you need is not superficial, but it goes to the core. Again, an unwillingness to go there, you will return home exactly the way you came. You will have spent a week, a day away from your family, but again, that lack of that courage to say, what is the movement? What is that place? Secondly, at the foot of the cross, you will always have this John, the beloved disciple. You can look through the scripture. He's always symbolized as the priest, right? That's your connection to the Mass with your pain, with your suffering. John, the beloved, who leans his head against the heart of Christ, all right? He will be at the foot of the cross. He will be that one that loves the Lord. He will be the one that takes this Mary home. So is it possible that your cross that began at that time in your life that's manifesting itself now, maybe going to that place with John and saying, the beloved disciple, Lord, love this. John, help, like, bring Christ to this place, but let me bring this also to the Mass. So it doesn't just remain like this cross of fear or isolation or pain, or it's this hidden cross. It's the cross that every single one of you must unite to Christ at the Mass for the communion that the Lord is seeking with you. He is the one that will come and he will offer. He will talk about God is love and what grace it is to be called the beloved son, or the beloved daughter. See what love the Father has for us, that we can be called children of God. He will be very clear, very unapologetically strong. Do you see what your identity is as one who is beloved? Candidly, what you begin to then realize is that all of the crosses and all of the struggles that you have a place in the Mass. They come to the Mass. They have to be brought to the Mass. Lord, I give you my frustration. I give you the pain. I give you the trials. What God wants you to do is then understand very beautifully his movement of grace and love. And then, of course, you have at the foot of the cross, you have your Mary Magdalene. She shows you that all things are possible. All things are possible with the grace of God. Mary Magdalene was that one that, well, seven demons had been cast out. And who knows, all of her struggle, her courage. Mary's this sort of this mixture of sin and strength at the same time, right? Probably incredibly controlling, but incredibly wounded. Because she was so wounded in her sinfulness, but she knew no other way than to protect herself by being controlling. So that's how she maybe lived her life, but she has this encounter with the Lord, this liberation. Who's to say, like the woman that caught in adultery? I don't know. But Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross also speaks something very beautifully, because in that is also the reminder that your wound could also have been just like a place of fear, a place of isolation. But it can also, that pain in your life can also be a place of great, great grace, of conversion. It's very important that you understand that I'm not asking you, I'm not really encouraging you to just like label yourself as, you know, as victims of some act or pain, your choice or somebody else's. That's not going to do you any good. But I am asking you to be aware that that homegrown cross is a place of encountering Christ. And I'm finding that people want to pick up crosses that are sort of self-chiseled. And I don't think it's exactly the way it is. Yeah, sure, pick up the cross of a cold shower. Pick up the cross of not drinking brewskis in Lent. Fine, that's all, has its own grace. But until every single one of you begins to like really delve deeply into what are my reactions in the pain, and am I really a joyful, free woman, or am I stuck in patterns of isolation and doubt that can come out at any moment? It may be possible that God is actually allowing things in your life now to get you to address the little crosses that were homegrown a long time ago. So it's important that you recognize that. So we can go through life and just sort of hunker down and kind of be like the one-armed boxer, just fighting with one arm because I can't deal with the other arm. I've never addressed it, never had it fixed. And you just kind of think, well, that's just the way God made me, or that's the result of all my pain. But that's not ultimately how you're supposed to finish the race. You're not supposed to finish the race with one arm. Like, you're supposed to actually seek the grace to be restored. The redemptive act of Christ is not restorative on 90% of your body, but not your left shoulder. It's the full encounter of liberation. And so suffering, when we understand it, really is not so burdensome, because where there is suffering, like I said, there may not be love, so follow me. Where you've suffered, you may not be loving from there. That's the whole retreat. Where you have suffered, if you are not loving there, because loving, I can suffer without love, but I cannot love without suffering. And yet the mystery of love is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's just so utterly confusing. I love you so much that I send you to be rejected and then to die. That he sent his only son. Like, just remember that, John 3:16. The Father so loved the Son I got that. That he sent his son, okay, little gray, right? That he would die, that he would be rejected. And so the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. But because of that love, they're suffering. But it's through their suffering that love comes back. The suffering of Christ. And so it's a great grace, but a great struggle. Because then we do the perspective on the cross, which is never the perspective of Christ on the cross looking forth. Most of our perspective is just like, I feel it on my back. But it's never usually like, Lord, how is my cross in communion with you? How am I united with you? I find that many people put their cross between them and the Lord as opposed to bringing it into the union of Christ with his cross. So, again, in the place of struggle, in the place of pain, what's there? There can be the fruit of forgiveness. There can be the fruit of humility. So sometimes when we go through life, people hurt us, kids hurt us, and we're like, this isn't fair. Why'd you do it to me? Well, that perspective is totally incorrect. Like, I don't think your kid was thinking about you, or your nephew or niece were thinking, oh, let me just hurt Aunt so-and-so by going out and doing something rotten. But just that self-absorption, you're like, it's against me. That's a sign that you have to go back to something because you're taking it personally, but it's not an act of love. It's just a place of accusation. You just like kind of answered your own pain. Is everybody with me? I'm just letting the Lord speak. And so when we are made in this image and likeness of God, when I recognize that the cross, the crucifixion, it's a moment in time only, but it is from there that there's something that has died, maybe in me, by the pain, the abuse, the suffering. But it's waiting for a resurrection. It's absolutely waiting. I had a meeting one time, and the mom was very sick. And I met with the adult kids, and she was a screamer. She always said, like, pointed, rough stuff. She was a marksman when it came to saying mean stuff. Like, she could pick off a kid with one word. And she could, and it was etched in the hearts, right? And she could nail them. Anyway, mom was sick. She had dementia. And the sisters, three sisters, were meeting with me. And I was trying to get them to that place. And one of them, sister, says, I've worked through a lot of this. And I just go and sit with mom. And then she said, but so-and-so, she kind of points to the other one. You don't really go there. And anyway, the second one who couldn't go there was kind of stuck in a place of unforgiveness, right? And she had just kind of said, like, offhandedly earlier in the conversation, yeah, I just always wanted to be, like, held and loved by my mom. I just always wanted to do it, right? I just wanted to be, it wasn't like mommy's little girl, but kind of the same concept, doing girly stuff. She just kind of feminized in a good way what she wanted. Anyway, it was, you begin to see, like, this woman crying in your office who late self-identifies herself as, I'm pretty non-emotional, right? I'm like, what's going on? That doesn't, and she spoke affectionately, but she put the wall up because mom had shot so many bullets at her. And yet at the same time, she was very affectionate because she wanted to be affectionate to her mother, but she didn't know how to get to that place. But, she kept, like, not going all the way back to the hurtful words. And I was like, honey, you got to get to the hurtful words. Because if you don't get to the hurtful words and see what you were like before the words and after the words, then you'll just keep thinking that you were just always like an emotionless woman. And that's like how God made you. I mean, that's, she was kind of going down that path, and I was like, God doesn't make emotionless people. He doesn't make mannequins. I said, honey, you're stuck is because you just go back to right after the words started getting tattooed on your heart, and that's where you've lived. I said, that's not how God made you. And getting her back over the hump was actually the process of saying, wow, I actually am a woman of great emotion, right? It was almost like a tourniquet was cut off her neck because she could begin to see. And what happened is she began to breathe again, and she began to just say, that's always what I've wanted, but I can't let myself go there. So we sort of made our way back to that place, and what God began to speak to this woman's heart was, you know, how she needs to, with the grace of God, overcome the struggle. Because she's actually not an emotionless woman. But that's what she thought, and that's the modern day experience. And there were things that kind of told her, like, you know, the fact that she doesn't really love May. Okay, well, that's not an important time, but she always just got all squirrely in May. Okay? I was like, why May? Do you have asthma? Do you have pollen issues? Like, why May? Do you hate it that your kids are going to be driving you crazy through June, July, and August? Like, what is it? Like, are you mourning June when the kids get out of school? Like, what's the deal? And then she finally just said, I don't know, you know. Just, Mother's Day isn't even important to me. I was like, bingo, thanks, honey. Bell ringer. That's it. That's the wound. I'm just like giving you as an example. And yet the problem was, you know, she put on 10 pounds in May because she was always eating. She was always sad. Her son's birthday was in June or something like that. And so she sucked all the way up until June. And then she's like, put on a happy face. And the kid's like, whatever, you've been a grouch the last month. And she couldn't identify it. And yet, at the same time, like, she was identifying it as something that was totally off topic. And yet God kept saying, let's go there. And then when she got with the grace of Our Lady to that place, she realized, wow, there's something powerfully moving there, and I want to be healed. It has everything to do with where that homegrown cross started. So you have to dig. And when you get that, and when you go to confession and you talk to your priest and you're like, yeah, here's my struggle. Here's where I think it happened. And these are what I'm going to work through these next 20 hours or so. Then the Lord will begin to speak beautifully. The other thing I want you to realize is that, as you have heard me say more than once, is that where there is the woundedness, it is the sign of Christ to work in that place. Christ will come and live and die for the sins of humanity. He comes not for the righteous, but for the sinners. And you have to believe that there's no wound in the body of Christ, literally and corporately, that has not been brought to the cross. Yeah, we love a Savior who's got, unfortunately, 5 wounds on him. But there's many, many more wounds on his body. Because we don't adore his back. We don't adore the cheekbone. We don't adore the busted nose that he probably had. We don't adore the scraped knees and the scraped elbows and the feet that are bleeding. Like, we have 5 wounds that we adore, but there's more wounds than that. There's many, many more wounds. Because just watch the Passion, and you can say, okay, like it or not, I see that there are countless wounds and layers of woundedness to the Savior. The point of all that is that, wow, it's an invitation for not me, not just to say, well, I have wounds in my hands or wounds in my head, or, you know, I have a heavy heart. I mean, he allows the whole body to be embraced, let alone the wound of the rejection of the nakedness, which is utterly embarrassing. But for those who have gone through the pain of that wound, that sexual wound, just understand that, you know, we have sort of a sanitized crucifix, probably for good reasons, but unfortunately it is what it is. Because nothing says, you know, he was stripped, but everything except his boxer shorts. It was coast to coast. So again, that was the great humiliation. So it isn't just stand before me in your shorts. It's no, you will stand naked so we can actually laugh at you. Again, that's another layer of the communion, of the opportunity to say, oh my gosh, Lord, you once were naked, and therefore I have the ability to unite my woundedness, my struggle, my embarrassment, and whatever. It can be weight loss, weight gain, or just unhappiness with this thing we call our body. But then again, if you can get to that place, maybe there'll be great, great healing. And lastly, I just want you to concentrate that at the very heart of love and suffering is this great word called mercy. Mercy has to be poured out. Mercy has to be given. And so you and I, when we go into the place of understanding where love and suffering come together as one, it's always going to be mercy. And mercy is always other-centered. So crosses are gifts for everybody. And they are homegrown based on the woundedness that all of us have. But ultimately, what God is going to do is he's going to use that as a place of grace, as a place of love. And if it remains just that place of the suffering and pain, again, you can suffer without love, but you cannot love without suffering. Lord, help me to love the pain. Help me to love the suffering. And then you will understand the response actually from you is mercy. The response is mercy. So you got a few things to kind of chew on. So you have about 20 minutes, so 25 minutes, 5:45. We're going to have just silence. So I really need you to go in. I think that if some of you go there and like really give God the chance to just like speak to you and address it, you don't have to be exactly at dinner at 5:45. If you come a couple minutes late, some of you can go right away, but some of you can come in. Just don't be too late. And just look at, here's the challenge, just eat and get out, because what I want to do is, or what I'm praying about is, what is the best way for the retreats to work, right? I mean, is it a silent retreat? It is. But again, silence can of the mouth, or is it silence really of, you know, are you doing other things just to fill the void? Okay? And that will be a great challenge for some of you, because how do I silence all the noise in my head? You can hear talks that touch your heart, but if there's not the willingness to settle in and just really address it, then what will can happen? It's the grace will just kind of pass by. Okay? So, and then we are back here at 7. So I'm going to invite you, you know, you can come back in here that Jen and Therese will just have a song kind of quietly now. Is that okay? And then at 7, we'll come back and do evening prayer, and then we'll be on to the next talk, okay? At evening prayer, I'll kind of talk you through stuff. You know, we'll have some healing prayers tonight, my two brother priests and I. Currently, there's 3 priests here willing to hear confessions, right? Now, remember, confessions, if you haven't been in a while, but what you want to do is you want to make sure that you know, you might just say, in the context of Father's talk, here's what I want to bring. Like, I've not addressed this. And this is maybe where I've seen some manifestations or patterns of sinfulness or brokenness, okay? It might put a little context. Try not to dwell in it, because this is not necessarily the place for spiritual direction. What you want to do is just, Father, here's a place that I've just not embraced the pain of my life. And again, it's childhood or teenage or whatever. And with the grace of God, then you can continue through this Lenten journey joyfully, kind of looking sort of strangely at Good Friday and saying, it's beautiful. You know, when the ladies were singing, you know, open my eyes to the wonders of you. You captured my heart with your love. Nothing is as beautiful as you. And I was thinking, is that Christ saying that to me at the foot of the cross, or is that me saying that to Christ on the cross, right? And what is that dynamic of the cross unless I have loved him through my suffering? But if I've just suffered, it doesn't mean I've loved him. And so many people suffer, but they don't love. So many suffer, and they just, like, well, it's heroic to suffer. Well, not really, because you can be royally angry. And patterns of just self-conversation, you know, that talking in your head that you guys do? Priests don't do it, but you guys do it. And then you talk and talk, and next thing you know, you're all, you know, fumbled up. And what you really want to do is realize, if I'm doing that over certain patterns or certain labels or certain struggles, then that will need to be a place that the good Lord wants to go to. Okay? Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Saint Joseph. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.